072-238-0712 is the WhatsApp line. With the coronavirus pandemic now in something like 176 countries around the world, people are citing it as the biggest threat to humanity since the Second World War. Wow, these are certainly weighty comparisons. Online is Professor of Globalization and Development and Director of the Oxford Martin Program on Technological and Economic Change at Oxford University, Professor Ian Golden. Professor Golden, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me on your show.
Pleasure. I think the question we need to ask right now is, how do you see the world after coronavirus? Because in Africa, for us, it's not a rosy picture, but it does look off the bat as if a lot of things are going to change. But what do you think is going to change?
Well, this is the gravest threat that I think all countries are facing for a very long time, since the Second World War. Of course, South Africa was only indirectly involved in that. Many people went off to fight, but South Africa itself was not bombed during the war. Many people died. This is going to be a similar catalytic experience, I think. It's going to transform societies around the world. And the real question is, do we end up in a world which is more cooperative, more harmonious, where we worry about the source of the next pandemic and overcome inequality and the other sources of pandemics? Or is this going to lead to more nationalism and protectionism, every country going for itself? And I certainly hope that it's going to dramatically transform the way we think about each other, build solidarity within our communities and between countries.
At the moment, I think that people are slowly beginning to realize that the only way out of this is to do it together. There can no longer be any of this self-centered kind of economic selfishness, is the only way that I can put it. Are you confident that we will see changes that will create a shift towards the most poor in our society, the most vulnerable, who have not only been affected by coronavirus, but by previous outbreaks which have been swept under the carpet?
Absolutely. Poor people and poor countries always suffer most from any crisis, whether it's the financial crisis or a pandemic or climate change. Whatever these threats are, they affect the most vulnerable hardest. And that is why we need to care very deeply about them and stop these threats. I am not convinced that we're going to get the outcome we want, but we have to fight for it. We have to fight within our countries to make sure that we get more equitable societies, and we have to fight at the global level to make sure that poor countries and poor places, poor people are not forgotten. That is something which, of course, has been neglected. Countries are turning their back on the United Nations, the WHO, which is the international body meant to be responsible for stopping pandemics, has been starved of resources and authority by the rich countries, not least the USA. And that is going to have to change. What happens in a pandemic is that there's no wall high enough to keep out the threat. And so what we're seeing in the US, for example, is that there are now more cases there than anywhere in the world. More people are likely to die there than anywhere in the world. And I think that hopefully will make people recognize that unless we have greater solidarity globally, unless we care about other places, we are vulnerable too. So it should be a massive wake-up call, and we need to make sure that it is globally.
In a sense, and I say this with absolutely no sense of triumphalism whatsoever, there's a massive lesson to be learned from the United States, isn't there? And I think the first lesson is that arrogance certainly doesn't pay. That's reflective of the quality of leadership they have at the moment. But I'm sure you would agree with that.
Absolutely. The U.S. president, probably amongst all the presidents in the world, has been the worst in dealing with this. Fake news, too little, too late. By contrast, the South African president, Cyril Ramaphosa, has been I think, one of the most impressive globally in the way that he's dealt with this. And so what we see in this is this very asymmetric situation. Of course, South Africa is not as strong or powerful as the U.S. What is disturbing is, I'm just looking at the opinion polls today, is that President Trump's popularity rating has gone up dramatically despite this absolute failure of leadership. And we see, in fact, all the leaders except Modi in India's popularity having gone up in this time. In the UK, our Prime Minister Boris Johnson now has done the right things, but did too little too late. And his popularity has gone up dramatically. So we don't know whether this is a short-term thing, whether this is going to reinforce people like Trump. What happened with George W. Bush, of course, is his popularity went up after 9/11 and other events, and then went down dramatically afterwards. So that could still happen. I think it's too early to say whether this will reward arrogance or whether it will punish it.
The other scenario that we have to look at is economics. A lot of people we've been chatting to on air are saying, and even economists themselves, who are normally pretty much embedded in the system, are now sort of jumping out of the box and saying that the world order of economics, and I'm not saying world order in the conspiratorial sense, I'm saying it as it is, that certain things are going to simply have to change on that front if we are going to make any progress.
I think that's absolutely right. This is, I think, like the Second World War, which of course led to the creation of the welfare state across Europe, led to a much stronger role for governments, led to the creation of the United Nations, the Bretton Woods institutions, the Marshall Plan, all these massive new initiatives to create opportunities globally, to overcome the war, to create a safety net within societies, were the outcome of that cataclysmic war. Now, the opposite happened after the First World War, of course. We had the League of Nations, but that collapsed. Bad leadership gave us the Great Depression, the rise of fascism, and the Second World War. So the choice is really there, is whether one takes the lessons from these terrible events and builds solidarity, builds cooperative societies. But I think one thing for sure is those people that believe the private sector could save them are now looking to the state to do so. And that's around the world and in the U.S. too. So I think this will accelerate the pushback against the years of Thatcher, Reagan, and others who were trying to privatize the state. And it will, I think, reinforce the understanding that we need strong and powerful states. And, of course, people have to pay taxes to get that.
Professor Ian Golden, we have to leave it there. Unfortunately, we could carry on chatting for quite a long time. Oxford University, Professor of Globalization and Development and Director of the Oxford Martin Program on Technological and Economic Change. So many things to discuss. But
thank you very much.
Thanks for your time.
Good luck to all of you.